You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
People have been complimenting the studio. We finally got the wide cam working. Now you can see more of the space.
It's basically the same
Look at
thing.
The carpet. Look at this. Look at the chairs.
The ball Christian left over there.
I was kicking that ball around. You can see our Telly Award over there. Boom. Respect us.
I mean, what a wonderful second angle, because you can't see the Telly Award if I just do this right here, right?
So we're excited to be back.
And you can see the ball in your shot anyway. So what have you learned about our space with that second angle?
Let us know what you learned in the chat.
Nothing.
Okay, Alexis hates anything cool.
I'm gonna suggest that's just not cool.
Mike Thomas said, do the carpets match the drapes?
No, the carpets have been dyed a funky color. The carpets are very Bad Bunny, uh-huh. And the drapes are very Daddy Yankee.
There we go.
Four people will get that.
Michael Raymond said, Couchigans. Sounds wrong when I said it out loud. Hey, you know what?
You know what? Maybe if you pronounce it Couchigans, bro. Now all of a sudden, we're all on board.
Now we have a whole new, we're content creators in a different sense.
It's just, look, it's still the same amount of content. It's just switched to a different website. Mm-hmm. Some of your work computers may not be able to access it.
Okay, but we'll talk to the IT department. Get through them firewalls. It's all good.
My buddy had an idea to create a website that you would go to that would load Pornhub inside of it so that you could get through firewalls.
Right. Yeah, so almost like we would call it like a Citrix server, right? Where you basically create a virtual environment. It's you run a virtual operating system within a computer, and it allows you to do stuff like that. So you can use one. I don't mean a brag.
Thank you for being here during our nerd break.
Okay.
Brought to you by boredom.
All right. Look, if you like that, that's just more the content you're gonna get from Couchigans. Right?
Oh, y'all thought it was gonna be freaky? Nah, bro.
You got it all wrong, bro.
Nah, dude. The server room is called the Couch.
Okay.
So it's the Couch.
It's all exclusively virgins here, bro. Don't get it twisted.
Nah, bro. The only time we splooge is in our sleep.
Okay, and yeah, it's embarrassing. Our doctor's trying to sort it out. Anyway, Michael Raymond said, wow, Christian just flexed his nerd.
Bro.
Look, but wait,
guy said Citrus server.
Not Citrus.
I know Citrus.
Okay.
Let it go, dog.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Already off to a ridiculous start. Welcome to the Cooligans. We're excited to be here as always. Poppy's always happy we're here.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Let's go. We have to talk too many things about MLS to discuss today, mm-hmm. because we just got...
Paolo Nelson said his nerd is hard. Damn.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know you could see it on camera. Yeah,
his nerd be throbbing. Go. You should see the third angle we've got coming. Luckily, there's so many things happening. But thank God it's all positive stuff and nothing negative has to be talked about.
Correct. So, look, we obviously have to talk about Caleb Porter. We just got the news about Merritt Paulson
stepping down as CEO.
Okay. And we're going to go over our MLS end of year award voting. We are voters. Yes, the show started talking about Citrix servers, and you know,
and now in our sleep.
and now we're gonna
we help decide. The people who said that stuff help decide who the MLS MVP is.
Exactly. Okay, just exactly what you expected. Nothing to see here, folks.
This is just like it was when 100 and some years ago when they were coming up with the rules of the game. They were like, man, I hope.
I'm sure, you know, Seb and Herc on Football America start their show off the same exact way.
They might cut that part out, but I bet you it's the same. I got to tell you about my car battery died, and my wife lost the key fob that had the key in it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? There's only
the
one
physical,
key. Yeah,
the physical key.
She lost that. Mm. She swears she didn't lose it. She's like, I'm still looking for it. 6 months later, still looking for it. But she lost it. So now, when the battery died, we had no way of getting in the whip. Right? So we called our insurance company. They send someone over to stuff that little airbag thingy in the door, like, and then put the thing in that pops the lock, right? So boom, we got it.
Like criminals do.
100%. Yeah. Well, this guy shows up, a flat brim twice the size of his head.
Right.
He pops out the car that says pop a lock, and he goes, que lo que? First thing he says. Mm,
so you know you're gonna get a good worker right here.
First of all, my guy said he was going to show up 8 minutes, and it took 35 minutes. And I go, yo, the app says you're here already. He goes, yeah, that's crazy. he didn't even answer. He was like, yeah, I know, dude. I don't even know where you were. And I said, yo, you need anything from me? He goes, like, what? And I was like, I don't know. You need me to do anything or just stay here? He goes, I could use some checkers. Like the food?
The food?
I was like, oh, he's asking for a tip without asking for a tip.
Okay. In Brooklyn. Where are they?
We're in Brooklyn. And then he goes, what you know about checkers? Right? And I go, no, there's one in Newark where I grew up. Mm. I was like, I know about checkers. He goes, so you grew up in Newark? He's like, yo, I lived out there for 3 years. And I go, yeah? I go, you from Newark? He goes, no, I'm not from there. I just lived there. And I go, oh, you were hiding out. And he goes, yeah, we was warring out here. I'm like, oh, shit. And I go, you Dominican, so you hit out in the North Ward. He goes, yeah, how you know all that? I go, dude, I'm from Newark. There's nobody who moves from New York to Newark for 3 years.
Right.
Unless you're hiding out. That's the only reason. He goes, yo, that's what happened, man. He's like, yo, they killed my mans, dog. I had to run. I stayed with Titi. He goes, wasn't even really my aunt, but she was cool. Yeah. Stayed with her for 3 years. And then I came back when everything cooled down. Wow. I was like, yo, good for you. And he's like, uh-huh. And he goes, yo, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I travel and stuff. He goes, yeah. You need security, dog. I was like, bro.
Well, you're going to end up moving back to Newark for 3 years. Like,
I'm like, where is this conversation going? I tipped my dude $20. I'm like, yo, get yourself some checkers. He goes, yo, thank you, Papa. And he took off.
Wow.
Broke into my car. He goes, oh, also, he goes, yo, man.
And this dude is also a voter for the MLS End of Year Award.
By the way, you know that. He told me he splooges in his sleep, bro. Nah.
And he thinks Sebastian Drewsy deserves a real shot at MVP.
He actually, this is true. He pops the lock. I open the hood, right? I pop the hood. Oh. And I was like, I am in the terminals right here. And because it's a hybrid, so the battery's actually in the trunk. So it's got just two little terminals you got to find, right? And I was like, yo, this is the positive and the negative. He goes, nah, man. I was only told to pop your door, dude. And I go, nah, man. When we called, we said the car's dead, so we can't jump it unless someone opens the door. So you're here to do both. And he goes, nah, man. He goes, look. And he shows me his phone. He goes, pop door, jump job. And I go, you see that right there? He goes, ah, dude, I don't be reading. Why'd you show me the phone that tells you to do exactly what I just suggested you got to do?
Hilarious. Okay.
Bro.
Well, I mean, I thought the second angle was better than that story.
I don't think so, dude.
All right.
Someone said Alexis is going to be hiding out from this guy. Bro, you need security. Was that a threat, sir?
All right. Let's get right into it.
A nice Cobra said, the lock guy had Cincy finishing 10th, and they called him out via tweet this morning.
Yeah, I got to get to that. That was ridiculous. Let's get to it. Columbus Crew, part ways.
Here's why I hate this angle. My face is just covered.
No, it's not covered. It's just in this video that you're looking at. In the normal YouTube video, that's not what people are seeing.
That's crazy.
Alexis is a child.
why? I can't be seen, bro.
The Columbus Crew part ways with head coach Caleb Porter. They lost in their final regular season game to Orlando City. They lost 2-1 off a controversial, maybe not too controversial, penalty late in the game. Facundo Torres gets the penalty, and boom, Columbus, all they needed was a draw. They could not do it. But Orlando, I guess they just wanted it more or whatever. But this was the last few weeks, everybody's been kind of already upset with Caleb Porter. I think if Caleb Porter was dealing with the losses that he was dealing with towards the end of the regular season, if this was in Europe, he would have been fired with like 15 games remaining, right? Because you saw the trajectory was going. Columbus, I saw some stat, I think from Tom Bogert. They lost or drew in games that they were leading 22 times. During the season, something like that.
It's pretty horrific. Also, do you think he got called Tom Booger growing up?
I'm pretty sure. If he didn't, it's going to start happening now.
Now I feel like I just threw a Molotov cocktail onto the internet.
Sure. Feel free to call him Tom Boogert. It's kind of like that. Do you ever watch The Simpsons? I don't think you watched
this. A long time ago.
But there was an episode where...
Somebody recently told me that only seasons 1 through 8 matter. Haven't they been on for like 35 years?
It's like almost 30, right? I don't know how long Simpsons have been on. But there was an episode where... They had like a flashback scene and they were trying to decide Bart's name.
Uh-huh.
Homer was like, well, we got to make sure it's a name that nobody could make fun of. So they were like, you know, trying to rhyme it with something like Bart, Cart, Bart, whatever. So he was like, he went, started with A, Art, Bart, Cart, Dart, and then when he gets to F, he just like he stopped at E. He was like E art, and oh, okay, I guess we're good. So he didn't get to fart.
The whole bit was that fart
that he didn't say it, and that he was like, let's name him Bart because nobody could ever make fun of that name. So
did you have one growing up? Did you have like a name that they made fun of that rhyme with Christian?
No, I didn't have one of those. No,
no. All right.
You had Rolexus.
I did. That was a dope nickname, though. That wasn't like a diss.
I don't know about that, bro.
Rolexus is fire, dude. People wanted me to make that my graffiti name, but I'm like, it's a little too close to my actual name. Rolexus is Christian. Yeah, I really got him. You kind of got to know religious ceremonies, though. But you could have gone Chrissy, Prissy, or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that type of nickname.
I mean, I got called Chrissy, but it was like a... you know, a term of endearment kind of. It wasn't ever negative.
Chrissy P. That's a dope nickname.
I got called.
CP? Did you ever get CP?
I got CP.
I got Alexis the Sexist. That was like the only thing they could get to rhyme. And it was really stupid.
That sounds like a headline in like the National Enquirer.
Right? Yeah, the Post.
I'm like, wow. Somebody. I got called Plinko, like a Plinko machine. Remember
Plinko? I remember Plinko, but why'd you get called Plinko?
I don't know. There was a girl
Did you fall down the steps all funny?
There was a girl I worked with at Sean John who just decided to call me that. And then it kind of stuck. Some people were calling me that.
Oh, because instead of Polanco.
Correct.
Palinko.
Not Palinko, but Plinko.
They didn't hit you with the Palinko?
No. It sounds a little bit too much like Rob Palinka, the GM for...
Rob Lowe? That looking dude?
That Rob Lowe looking dude. Yeah, for the Lakers. Anyway.
Chrissy T. Payne? come up with an elementary school nickname for Christian, dude.
All right, we were talking about Caleb Porter.
Lopez? Oh, instead of Lopez. That's a dope nickname, though.
Okay.
You could flip that.
Okay.
Lopez?
I mean, if you're a girl, it might be a little bit, it might sting a little
bit. That might hurt. That might hurt a little bit.
Oh, you got me there. You got me there.
Okay. I'm going to go cry in the bathroom. Dude, when I was in school, they told me the women's bathroom had a candy machine. I didn't realize it was a tampon machine. I was like, yo, I got mad jealous. I'm like, yo, they get to buy chocolate.
I was so mad. I want to eat chocolate in the bathroom.
And they had a couch. We have no couch. Wow. Also, if we had a couch in the men's room, it would be covered in piss, dude.
Well, that's why we have couches here that are covered in piss. Hell yeah, dude. We have fixed that part of Alexis's childhood.
Hit him with the other angle so they can see the piss stains, bro.
All right. Caleb Porter, how we feeling? You think he deserved to lose his job? He won MLS Cup 2 years ago, and now he is out of a job. You think that's fair?
Caleb Porter is one of those dudes that seemingly just can't really hold on to a job for a long time. His style of management wears you down. He is the American Jose Mourinho.
Right, 3 years, and you're gonna get one title. And
worked it.
And then, you know, it's going to be, you're gonna leave in a little bit of shame.
More interesting than whether he should be fired or not. Yada, yada, yada. We'll let the other voters who don't talk about splooching and piss cover couches talk about that. Hey. Here's the real question. Who should hire him next? Because he's going to get a job.
I agree. But the run of form that Columbus have been in, where
who cares? He won a trophy.
He won a trophy, but
you got a chip, you get another job.
But my concern, or the reason it seems even worse, is that Columbus actually gave him a roster. They went after players. They spent money. They got a new stadium. There was a lot of hype around it, and he couldn't do much with the resources that he had.
He won a trophy.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think
you won MLS Cup. You good?
Maybe an expansion team will give him another shot. I don't know. I feel like, aren't you tired of Caleb Porter a little bit? I mean, respectfully, I'm just like a little bit like, bro.
You gassed.
I'm just being like, yo, bro. Can you just tone it down a
you
little bit?
You don't think Vancouver would be like, yo.
No, Vancouver has his, I forgot the manager's name, but he is, the dude is bubbly. He's delightful. They were one almost one win away from making the playoffs.
Right.
So the energy to go from that kind of a manager.
You don't think San Jose would give this dude a run?
San Jose, they just hired Lucci.
Right.
No,
like a team like that. I'm talking about like a team that's perennially or Houston, like Chicago,
Houston.
What about Chicago?
Chicago, they're still working on with their manager.
Bro, you want to burn MLS to the ground with what I'm about to say?
Okay, go for it, bro. I mean, I still want to be
Sporting
can I
Kansas
still
vo- City, dude.
Literally, they're the same
Sporting
guy.
Kansas
for me
City.
And Porter.
They just swap. You swap spots, bro.
Different color hair. That's about it. You get the silver fox in Vermees.
Sporting Kansas City fan just said, let's go. Bro, I'm being serious. Kansas City has had the same manager for what? 75 years?
longer than MLS's existence.
Yeah, 100%, bro. Yo.
Nah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Why not? Give me a reason why. You can't just say no.
So do you? I don't think Caleb Porter is.
What about NYCFC? What if Nick Cushing doesn't do a good job in the playoffs?
No.
It's a similar style to how City play.
What's similar about it?
Porter ball?
I don't think so at all. No.
How now?
NYC
overlapping fullbacks.
Oh, is that
possession based?
Is that all? Is that all they do?
I just listed two out of the two things.
Is that super specific to Caleb Porter's style?
Also, would Caleb Porter be considered rude in New York? No.
I don't think Caleb Porter is managing in MLS in 2023.
You think he takes a year sabbatical?
I think so.
Do a Canadian Premier League? Or you think he takes the year off?
I think he takes the year off.
There's a little media, a little Apple Plus, Apple TV Plus.
Okay. Sure, I'm sure. I mean, even speaking to that, have you seen all the clips of all the local broadcasts? And they're like...
gut-wrenching.
It's so heartbreaking. I mean, I said this...
I'm going to be honest. Some of y'all was like, y'all still on TV? But a lot of y'all was like, this is wild. Because there's some people that did... Speaking of Columbus, our friend Jordan Angeli. Incredible job that she was doing out there. It sucks. At the same time, it does feel like this is the right move. By the way, we don't have a job with Apple TV Plus. Don't think that's what I'm saying.
In fact,
if anything, Apple TV Plus has told all of our representatives in no way, shape, or form do we want these people involved.
The thing that's frustrating is that I'm sure there are going to be people that from these local broadcasts that get hired for Apple TV. Every single game will need a broadcast team, but I think what's going to happen is there's not going to be a local broadcaster. So essentially,
you don't think they'll do like the cool thing, like have like a bunch of like, you know, teenage looking people sitting on boxes or something. No, it's like, you don't think they're going to try to like advance it a little too far?
No, they're going to. Well, so what? The idea is, because the games are being broadcast globally, you don't need an announcer and an analyst for your local broadcast and for the like global feed. You just have two. It's going to just be two people. And maybe like a sideline reporter for every game. So it's just essentially three people to broadcast any particular game. It's not.
Let us know if you're following along, because I'm completely lost.
So currently, what we have now, let's say if you're watching an MLS game in the U.S., right?
Right. There's the Fox announcers, and then there's the local Bally Sports or whatever.
No. So it would be if NYCFC is playing Orlando, you have the Yes Network broadcast that mm-hmm. is have Ian Joy and Joe Tolleson,
right?
And then you whatever. Have the Orlando broadcast right. that is show is I forgot who's that
Fox Sports South or whatever.
Miguel is one of the guys. So four people are calling this game, and now you're only just gonna have two people. Maybe it's not gonna be any
because
home.
There's just the Apple TV broadcast.
Exactly. There's one. You go on the app and you click on the game, and it's gonna be whoever. It's probably gonna be. There's probably gonna be English broadcast and Spanish broadcast. And that's about it. So a lot of people will be losing their jobs, but some of these people will be coming back. At least I hope. I hope as many people from these local broadcasts do come back, because it is difficult to grow up with a particular voice or a broadcast team, and you're sort of just used to watching this game, and it's part of the culture of the team that you support, and now to have them just gone, like the DC United Dave Johnson, right? It's in the net.
Yeah,
I want to hear it's in the net from sometimes, you know, time yeah, to time. Yeah. Be nice to hear
like
that.
Tommy Smith, he put the onion in the onion bag or whatever.
Right. So, it was a little sentimental seeing all those.
It was. It's a little bit crushing, especially how difficult it is to maintain a job in the sports industry. But now that we're like Sporting SKC Fan TV said, call me Apple. Let's be honest. If you really want to advance, you're going to have to do a couple things. You want to have, right, a Steve Buscemi looking kid, right, right, sitting at home with a green screen behind him, dying with every goal that gets scored against his team. You got to have an official stream.
Well,
do you want two comedians picking one game each week, talking wild shit that someone could hit a button and say, this is the feed I want to listen to, instead of it's in the net. You know what I mean? Which is great. I'm not saying it's wrong, but let's say you want to spice it up a little bit.
Right. I get it.
Have a Cooligans button.
Look, I think
just goes back to the Coochigans, I guess.
Hit the Coochigans button for the very nerdy takes.
Again, you think it's one thing, but it's actually just we're really just explaining how the system works for streaming.
But it's going to change the culture of being an MLS fan a little bit. Do I think it's going to advance the league?
I love how you keep bringing it back to the actual subject.
But I'm just saying,
I'm out here like, what about this? And you're like, right. Anyway, so what we're saying.
There's a reason to be emotional about it. My hope is that Apple maintains as much of the heart of the people who built the culture of the league. I mean,
I say kick it all down. Start from scratch, dude.
You're like Jillian Sackovic, figure it out. Yeah. Whatever.
More like Sackovic. No, we love you, Jillian. We love you, Jillian. We love you, Jillian, so much.
Was that her nickname? Damn. Wow. Why would you do
Why
that?
Why would they use a British slang for getting fired in high school?
Tommy V. Oh, somebody did ask a question. Say Tali said, who is the play-by-play and who is the color commentator.
Tommy B says Alexis does color, Christian the facts.
Right. Okay. I'm gonna be talking about, you know, the IT system in the stadium.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm like, yo, what nickname do you think Insigne had in school, dude? I think there's an opportunity to not just advance how the league is watched, which we cannot rephrase this. We can't say it in any other way. This is absolutely a colossal step forward in live sports distribution. Okay. But then why you got to stop advancing that there? Let's keep going.
Okay.
We got to have a goddamn Cooligans button.
is the Cooligans, buddy?
That's okay. Why.
All right. Our board answers all the questions for you. Right? Okay. So did we wrap up on Caleb Porter? Is there anything else?
Give me a team you think will hire him, that should hire him.
I think that I would say probably Houston. Houston seems like the a good destination, a place that needs some direction and stability. And Caleb Porter does provide that, probably for a short amount of time. But, you know, we've, you know, from our inside sources, we always hear, yo, Caleb, he knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. But as far as from, like, you know, man management and, like, his personality, it rubs people the wrong way. And
he's a tough personality. But those are the types of coaches you need after you have, like, a player coach.
Maybe, yeah.
And you bring in the shit kicker.
Yeah, we've said this all the time about, like, you have to, like, flip-flop from, you know, the drill sergeant to the cool stepdad. Sorry, my watch hit the thing.
Go ahead, break our glass table.
So maybe Houston seems like maybe a good, a decent destination because they just let go of their coach. And it looks like they're in a little bit of a, you know, tough situation, but we'll see. I still think Caleb Porter is probably not managing in 2023, but I could be wrong. But
someone just said, holy shit, that's loud today.
Oh, wow. Oh, you put it to the full volume?
You did.
Oh, I did that.
Yesterday. Yeah. Hopefully that's more manageable. Sorry if that was super, super loud. New Jersey's own Pellegrino Marazzo for the crew. That's the dude who's coaching in Europe.
Germany. Yeah. Pellegrino Matarazzo.
That's the most New Jersey name I've ever heard.
Robin Tagini said, do we get free Ted Lasso with MLS season ticket plus Apple TV package? Meaning like the character or the show? The show.
Ooh, a nice cold brew said Rooney out. Get Porter to D.C.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. We'll address
that's
that.
That's interesting.
I do. Before we address that, I do want to address that. Robin Tagini did just
hide our address from the screen.
I will do that. Yes. Robin Tagini is the first person to send us something for the studio.
Okay.
So shout out to Robin Tagini, obviously.
We'll see what this is.
The homie.
Will she also be the first person to have it sent back if you don't like it?
Wow.
There's a real question.
Talk about color commentary. All right. I see it. It's something Atlanta related.
What are the odds?
All right. It's all right. It's Atlanta United heavy. Okay.
Okay. I mean, well, she's not a damn Sporting Kansas City fan. Look at this though. What this
these, bumper stickers
from 2017.
Oh, this is from when they were announced
before they were called Atlanta United.
Right. Thank you.
That
so
is
much.
Really impressive.
Robin stickers for Atlanta MLS.
Should we cover our unboxing table that also kind of looks like a goal? Can you see it? Should we cover that in stickers, dude?
We could.
Right? What about this glass table, bro?
All right, let's see what else we got. So we obviously got a scarf here.
Yeah, make no decision, Christian. I like it.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Do we want to put the
what are you going to try to sell that after?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
A footy mob scarf.
Shouts to footy mob. Always been supportive.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. And then this is what, a flag? This is what it's going to be now. Atlanta United studio now.
So for those of you listening, by the way, it's the old MLS logo with the word Atlanta and then 2017 next to it. And then MLSAtlanta2017.com written underneath it. So I don't know if this was official stickers made by the league or the owners, or if this was by the fan base. But, you know, this was right around the time when I was saying there's no reason to have a team in Atlanta. They'll never have support. They're trash supporters for all sports. And I couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, literally was the most wrong I've ever been.
All right. Yeah, we got a flag.
Sweet with swagger, A-Town down, Concord. That's a beautiful flag.
Thank you
so much.
Robin, much appreciated.
So look out in the mail, Robin. We're sending this all back. No, thank you. This is beautiful stuff, dude. This is really cool.
Okay. All right. So Wayne Rooney. Obviously had a very, very poor time so far here.
A little bit of a learning curve.
Right? I mean, look, he inherited a pretty bad team. So I saw...
And then one of them shows up as a racist. I mean, there's a lot happening.
Right. You know, he's in Greece now. Santorini, wherever whatever they do out there.
Probably that island where all the buildings are painted white.
What island is that?
I don't know. Mykonos, maybe?
I don't know. Look,
get it? Because all the buildings are painted.
It is all
white.
It is alleged.
Do you get it?
At the moment, I mean, but we'll see if he ends up.
I'm not going to name names, but let's just say if you put your hand up in New York City, one of them pulls up.
I think.
Unless you put it up the way he would put it up.
Sure.
Get it?
Wow, I get it.
Because he's racist.
DC United and their allegedly. We don't know what's going on.
Again, no, everything was, well, I haven't said anyone's name.
Okay. So DC United obviously had a poor year, but Wayne Rooney, and I saw this from Pablo Mara, he had tweeted out that Wayne Rooney's obviously going to get a better opportunity to bring in the players that he wants.
He definitely deserves. I don't want to call it like a transfer window, but he definitely deserves a preseason to make some decisions.
He came in the mid-season, and
his job was to just stop the bleeding. You know what I mean?
It was just they were hemorrhaging. it did not stop.
It did not.
So but Paulo Maurer said that in all likelihood, Wayne Rooney will only be at DC United for one more year. So how much should like the executives? How much of a sort of how much effort or how much of a leash do they need to give Wayne Rooney?
Or why let him make a bunch of decisions if he's just going to be gone?
Because I don't think the feeling is that he's going to be there a long time.
Why?
Pablo Mauro suggested that. He's interviewed.
Yeah, but did he say why?
No, did not say specifically why. I just, I'm assuming he covers DC United. He's been covering DC United for, I think, like a decade. I'm going to trust his opinion on that. And maybe that's just his like hunch. But I think it's a fair question.
Yo, Pablo, we're on the show right now, and you said that Wayne Rooney was going to leave most likely after next year. Can you share why? Oh, by the way, whatever you sent me, I'm going to play on the show regardless of what you say.
Okay, let's see if Pablo responds.
So we'll see live if he responds or not.
But
I'll let you know once he reads it, which is not yet, or once he acknowledges the voice note.
But I do think if I think you operate under the fact, even if Wayne Rooney doesn't stay there past a year, I still think.
Does he get the right to shift the playing style, the culture, the players that are in there, roster?
He's not going to make it worse. So go for it.
So then do you listen to, what was it, Michael Raymond who said it? Do we then fire him? We, as if we have any right. Do we then let him go and bring in a Caleb Porter who will most likely be there for a little bit longer?
No, I mean, what would be the point of bringing him in for 6 months? No, you have to give him another shot.
Who for 6 months?
Wayne Rooney, he's only been there for a couple months.
Yeah, but if he's only going to be there for another year, then you might as well make that decision now.
Right, but you can't operate on the thinking that he's not going to be there longer than a year. You have to just give him the opportunity. And I think if he finds some success, maybe he can find a reason to stay. But the team has to do well. If I don't see a scenario where DC United win MLS Cup or get really deep into the playoffs, and he's like, "Nah, I'm done." In my opinion, I think that would be reason enough for him to stay. But we do know that his family didn't move to DC. And it is what it is. So signs suggest that he may not be here very long. But how can you have a manager and you're not going to take a gap year?
Okay. Think of it as Everton. Let's say we end the season. Everton are in 13th place. Reports are Lampard is most likely going to leave after one more year. Do you give him a transfer window?
In the scenario, well, I mean,
just take it exactly how I said it. Do you give him that summer transfer
window?
Yes,
you do. Because
knowing he's not going to be there next year, so the changes he's going to make may potentially be prohibitive to the team succeeding the year after.
I mean, you will have a say in the decisions that he doesn't have complete say in what decisions are made. You have input in that decision if you are a sporting director or whatever. But how can you maintain the confidence of your supporters by getting rid of Lampard after, you know, was in this scenario, like Rooney, he's there 6 months.
Right.
And then you get rid of him. You don't think that supporters, season ticket holders are going to be like, what the fuck is going on with this team?
You don't think in a year from now, they're going to be like, we wasted an entire year. Why did we even have this guy? Why did we let him bring these players in? We didn't win. We didn't succeed. And he's gone. And now the next manager is going to have to make even more changes.
It's worse to do it.
I couldn't agree more. By the way, St. Tali said Alexa's looking at his phone like he just sent a risky text and is waiting for a response. Justin Freeberg said Alexa's looking at his phone like he just sent a U-up late night text. Nick Red said Alexa's looking at his phone like his Postmates delivery is more than 10 minutes late. All of those are correct, except I know what my wife would say if I sent a risky text. He has not looked at it yet. He must be busy. What is he doing, dude? You don't do nothing, bro.
You clicking, clickety clacking on your keyboard.
Would you find out Johan Cruyff played a game in Vancouver once?
I think DC are in a bad, they're in a bad spot because they have a lot of, you know, they have issues from the roster to, you know, people mad at ownership. They have to finish building the damn stadium.
Which is even funnier. Remember when they were like, oh, we can't play games during the day because we didn't realize the sun hits the cameras?
Even decision day was weird. I don't know if you saw it. You were obviously in London. I don't know if you saw any matches, but the games were all that. Especially
Justin Bieber said, Pablo writing an article about how Pele once played a charity match in Boise, Idaho.
All the games were like fairly early, like at 2:00, 2:30, right. And some of the games, especially the game at Audi Field, was you couldn't. The sun was so bright you couldn't see. You could barely tell the players' jerseys apart on TV. Like
because the sun shadows goes into the cameras.
That wasn't the issue with this particular game. It was just that the sun was so like.
Yeah, but don't they have the ISO? You ever notice when there's a shadow on the field?
Yeah.
They'll switch back and forth.
This was the problem. I don't know if they didn't adjust the ISO correctly.
Oh, they had an amateur cameraman?
Bro, but I forget who they were playing, but you could barely tell the two different teams apart on television. I'm sure in person, I'm sure it wasn't that big a deal, but it was odd. They got to put a damn roof. DC,
bro,
out of you needs a roof to block the damn sun.
Can we start a GoFundMe for DC to get a roof and FC Dallas? Y'all need a roof, bro. I don't know how you're letting your fans bake for 90 minutes.
I mean, it's you know, weather's cooling down, so it's not as bad now. But in the summer,
I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about the beginning of the season, bro.
They got it.
How many more fans do you think would show up to an FC Dallas match if they had a roof?
That's a good question. I think a fair amount. Yeah, I don't know how many. I mean, it's not like sometimes people make fun of FC Dallas and like they, you know, no fans are there or whatever. It's not as bad as it looks on TV. I've been there. You haven't been there, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, you went for the You went.
I haven't been during a game.
Exactly.
But I've been to Dallas.
The Hall of Fame. Yeah,
I've been to Frisco.
Yes, but I stayed for the game against Sporting Kansas City.
How many more fans would show up if it was called Frisky Texas, dude?
Wow.
I hope that was a little bit lower.
Great, great question.
NYCFC got a baseball diamond with people at it.
Did you see the, people complain about the stadium, but, you know, especially games at Yankee Stadium, a lot of fans show up. I mean, and comparable to some of the other MLS stadiums that get a lot of fans. I mean, NYCFC is getting a couple 20 some odd thousand fans.
It's pretty good.
A game. It's pretty good. Obviously it feels
could be better, but it's pretty good.
Did you hear this about
they're trying to switch it?
That there was another possible stadium going to be announced by the end of the year. Did you hear this? This from the Citigroup CEO.
Say the words. What are you talking about?
Fehan Soriano. Yeah. So there was just somebody reported. I forgot who it was, but said.
Well, then let's congratulations, Girona. Your new stadium.
We'll see. We'll see.
Did you hear that they're trying to move the playoff game to Citi Field?
I did hear that, but I don't know. I don't know how likely it is. It's obviously, you know, NYCFC is going to play Inter Miami at Rebel Arena.
As of right now, it's Rebel Arena.
Right, but the my Mets couldn't finish out the season properly, And
also, shouts to Chris Scobo, who probably has canceled all his spots. That man is not leaving his house. Mets, I've never met a bigger Mets fan.
They win, 101 games in a season and missed the playoffs, bro?
Bro, it's crazy.
It's a joke. I don't know how. I don't even know how that's possible.
How did you get DeGrom out of the playoffs? I don't know, bro.
Actually, you know this, right? I wrote a commercial for Jacob DeGrom.
I remember this. Yeah. Car lot?
A local car dealership commercial. Right. Yeah.
That was a while ago, too. A
couple years ago. Okay.
Homie playing still.
Look, I mean, I contributed to my Metropolitans, okay? The Mike Thomas said, cool closer song. Hope it was worth it. Diaz. I mean, it is a good song.
Which one is it?
It's the song from, it's called Narcos or something like that. With the trumpet.
Yeah.
It's a banger. We had a couple viral clips.
What would be your closer song if you were a closer? You look like a closer, dude. Of course. Look like Mariano Rivera's cousin.
My closer song is what would it be?
Would you pick new or would you pick classic?
Juicy from Notorious B.I.G.
Damn. It really doesn't sense fear when you're like, it was all a dream. I used to reword them. That doesn't really strike fear.
Oh, I don't know. What's a scary song? I mean, something from, Metallica, something a little bit more intense. Master of Puppets.
I don't know anything you're saying. I'd probably pick Many Men.
Okay.
Bro, Wish Death Upon Me. That?
Did you see? There was a player from the...
Who got shot.
Who got he shot. Came out the Washington... Commanders. Commanders. He came out to Many Men. Hey, bro. He got shot like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. But he's back in the league, bro. Also, can I just say, there was a tweet a long time ago, and it still makes me laugh, that said Bronx couples slow dance to Many Men. And I mean, I think about that tweet maybe once a week.
Robin Seguini said, not Tool. Tool is a little bit too. I don't know. It's too sensitive for a closer song. Most Tool songs are not that intense.
A nice cold brew set. Pop Smoke, Invincible. I feel invincible.
Okay.
100 in the spot.
I love your Pop Smoke impression.
My Pop Smoke impression.
Can you do the entire show as Pop Smoke, bro, please?
You think I can?
Okay.
Wait. Okay. He listened to it.
But no response.
Yet. No response.
Okay. All right. We'll get Pablo's to dial in real soon.
Will he respond? That is the question.
Mike Thomas said, "Crawling in My Skin" from Linkin Park.
Recording audio.
All right. We'll get it for you folks.
What's a crawling in my skin? It's Pop Smoke doing Linkin Park.
Okay. I guess we'll wait for Pablo.
Nah, you got to close out to some Celia Cruz. Hilarious. He strikes fear in the eyes of many. Ladies and gentlemen, your closer, Alexis Guerrero's Azúcar. That is not, every kid. Actually, you do get fear, because when I heard Celia Cruz, that meant we were cleaning our house, bro.
Oh, dude, I mean, we got chores.
Bro, you got to play a little vacuum cleaner in the background? Oh, my God.
All right, we got to get to our MLS end of year awards.
Okay.
But let's see. Pablo did respond.
Okay, so.
Let's see what he says.
This, I'm not going to hear.
We don't know. Yeah.
We might have to bleep this.
Clear this before.
I mean, it's a feeling I get. I happen to know that he has kind of a, people have called it a Colleen clause in his contract that would let him return to, England if there are, family issues, or if he gets an opportunity at an EPL club. And, the first thing he told me when he was here was, I know I can coach in the Premier League. And, he was sort of speaking of this just like it was a stop on his journey. And 2024 is an option year. So, I put all that stuff together. Sorry, there's nothing more sensational that you can report to your listeners.
There it is. The Colleen clause. That'll do it.
I did not expect you to do that. A, so sincere. And B, without the sounds of an engine revving in our background.
Okay. Robinson, can y'all paraphrase? I couldn't hear it. Okay.
So, what?
I guess it wasn't loud enough.
Probably because now it plays out of this part.
Oh, it might have been a little too low.
I'll add it in post. Okay. Basically, they said that he has a...
I lowered it because I thought it would help.
He has a Colleen clause in his contract.
Yeah.
that allows him to get out.
And if there's any family issues, if
family
anything,
issues,
any concerns or, you know, reason to leave.
He thinks he can get a job in the EPL. So it's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if he gets a job offer, he gets to go.
Yeah.
And he has a buyout clause or an option on 2024.
Right. So look, it's, you know, DC are in a bad spot. They didn't have to hire him and they didn't have to put these clauses in place. They could have found another coach, but they thought, you know, he would help, fix everything that was going on with the team, and they have to give him a shot. They're in a bad spot. They have no real choice.
We'll see.
He
sent me another one, but now I can't play because I know you guys can't hear.
Yeah, it's, I don't know why it doesn't sound clear, but what are you going to do? Justin Freeber said Rooney has a Agatha Christie clause in his contract. Fair.
How do we play this other one?
No.
Oh, you know what? Patreon gets that. How about that? I'll literally post whatever the hell he just sent me without hearing it on Patreon.
Patreon.com/soccercooligans. Join today. Okay. Our MLS end of year awards.
Do you want to do MLS MVP last or first? Should we just get it out there?
Let's leave it up to the chat. Chat, what do you want to know? What do you want to know first? Should we start with the, if we're going backwards, we'll start with coach. Coach, and then comeback player of the year, young player, newcomer, defensive player of the year.
And now I didn't write any of these down, so I have to remember who I voted for.
You can clearly see the difference on how Alexis and I prepare for the show.
I want to remind everyone I was not told to write it down.
Okay. Because why would we ever talk about it, right?
Also, you were like really adamant about voting. I'm like, I don't care if we do it or not. I think it's cool that we were just asked once.
I take it seriously. Okay.
Yeah. Joe Whitlock said, start with the best scran in the league.
MVP last. Okay.
By the way, best scran in the league might be DC because they got pupusas in the stadium.
I'm trying to remember. It's like we usually don't.
We don't get to eat
the food because we're like at media.
Right.
Whatever.
So we got to eat the media food. Who got the best media food?
Atlanta probably. I think in my memory, I probably have the best food because it's like they have the NFL platter for the soccer game, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yankee Stadium ain't too bad either.
It's not too bad.
They got the salads, the burgers, the chicken sandwiches. That one time I put the burger and the chicken sandwich together and you just very lightly go, oh my God.
I mean, Alexis is like, he's constantly trying to like outfat himself.
Bro, I hadn't eaten all day. I was starving and I was like, I got a good idea. I'm going to just take the chicken patty and put it in the burger because the burger's kind of dead by itself. And as I put it together, I just feel you peering over and you just go, oh my God.
Kirby D said Orlando has some good brisket and tacos. Red Bull has some good tacos, Camilo said. And Red Bull has the empanadas.
Red Bull has brisas. Shout out to brisas.
Which are great. Austin had I had something at Austin.
I'm so mad tacos I didn't get to go.
That I think that those were actually really good too.
But shout out to pupusas, bro.
Shout out to Papooses, you know, well, they need to get some love. Okay, so everybody's saying we should go backwards.
Snuff said, who did you pick as MVP and why did you choose Alex Collins? Alex Collins will get a reference here, I'm sure.
Yes, I think so too. All right, so Alexis and I have not discussed this either, so we don't know why.
That's the thing, we don't know who each other chose.
Okay, so coach of the year, do you want to go first? Who'd you select?
I wanted to pick Chirundolo.
Sure.
Right, but I have it pulled up here. What did he get? He got
Supporter Shield.
Supporters, the most points of anyone of any first year coach ever.
Okay,
but he had so many people around him, so many players of, you know, of a high ilk.
He adopted a very good team.
Yeah, but also they brought in a bunch of great players as well.
Yeah, that helped.
So as much as I love you, Chirundolo, first person to say Chirundolo. Mm-hmm.
You got to say Chirundolo on right. this one.
So yeah, you Chirundolo not to get did not get that. I went with Jim Curtin, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's doing it again with nothing.
I wouldn't say nothing.
You know what I mean? Like he's not getting
getting big names.
He's not getting big names.
The sexy names that we all know. No, but he's
consistently great. A tough team to beat. He went on a span there where they were basically Bayern versus two Bundesliga teams. It's hard for me to say any other coach deserved it as much as he does, because it's just a level of consistency and excellence you just do not see anywhere else. Finished top of the Eastern Conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Beat Montreal. I went with Jim Curtin, dude.
Okay. So it's interesting. While I was trying to make that decision, Jim Curtin was definitely one of the people I was highly, highly considering. Jim Curtin won Coach of the Year in 2018, I think, right. Or 19. I forgot exactly what year. I have it actually pulled up. He won in 2020, sorry, when they won Supporters Shield. So usually the MLS coach of the Supporters Shield winner, usually wins Coach of the Year. I think that's been fairly common throughout the last couple of years.
And I
Not
bet
always.
You Cherundolo wins it. But it was just hard for me to make that decision based on the fact that he basically waltzed into an MVP team.
Sure.
But also to give him credit, when we interviewed him before, he was like, yeah, I want to go back to the U.S. as coach. I'm like, yo, you a defender? What kind of trash, boring ass soccer are you going to play? And he was like, no, I want to play quick. I want to play fast. I want to play attacking. And it's all of that. And he's definitely a success. And remember how down bad LAFC fans were when they hired him. Even our homie Andrew, Drew Near Post, was like, oh, God, this guy, he's never even coached in the...
Yeah.
And look how incredible it's turned out. So he's probably going to win it, but I got to give Jim Curtin a nod, bro.
I think that's fair. So I went with the Montreal head coach, Wilfred Nancy.
Nancy, right?
It is Nance. Y there, yeah.
But they just say Nance.
That's
how you pronounce Nancy, is Nance.
Oh, maybe I'm saying it wrong. I think there's a Y there, but
the town Nancy is Nance.
But that's not how the team is spelled. That doesn't have a Y.
Yeah, it does. No, you're talking about Nantes.
Yeah, the
Nancy.
Nancy's pronounced Nantes. Okay, maybe we'll see. I don't know.
He may not.
He may.
Maybe the Quebecois way of saying is Nancy.
But, so my decision for that is you even saying Jim Curtin did it with nobody. Montreal really did it with
someone who I consider possibly the best midfielder in the game in the league right now.
Georgi Mihailovic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. But then
and Victor Wanyama,
but look,
who's a superstar defensive midfielder and deserves to be back in the league.
And he said he's probably not coming back. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, he's it's up to the league or whatever. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
But no, I think he did more with less out of all the coaches that I was considering.
I wouldn't say less. Because he's got some big names. Again, Georgi Mihailovic and Wanyama probably being the two biggest. Who's the defender who also played really well? I can't remember his name right now.
Ooh, look at that. The all-star.
Whatever. Nonetheless, Montreal is my, third or fourth favorite city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Love Montreal. I got my heart there. But, bro, I don't know, man. Jim Curtin, just the way he put that squad together, the way he got them playing. Bro, and he beat Montreal.
Okay,
in the standings,
Montreal ended up 2 points behind behind Philadelphia. I think that's saying quite a bit.
Montreal. Let's see what happens in the playoffs.
For me, the choices were Cherundolo and Wilfred Nancy, right, or Nance, whatever, however you say it. I think a lot of credit has to be given to Montreal, because usually the expectations, I think, are generally much lower for Montreal and fans. Remember, when they changed the logo and changed the name, everybody was upset. But I think it's the team looks like he took Thierry Henry's team and, I believe he was Henry's assistant, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was there doing the
And he brought the team to another level. We even saw Montreal at the beginning of the year when they played NYCFC. NYCFC won, I think, 3-0 or 2-0.
Right.
And they looked like they were about to have another rough season. And so a lot of credit to him. I think he very much deserves
Here, you
that
might
pick.
Be right. Hold on. Why is it not playing?
Okay. What are you doing?
Nonce.
Nancy.
Okay. It's just like he sounds like he's saying Nancy, and then he shushes you.
I don't know if you're going to
hear
you.
This. Yeah.
Nancy. Okay.
You probably can't hear that, but it sounds like Nancy.
Okay. The SKC Fan TV. I'm with Christian on this pick. Thank you.
Yeah, but look at all the people who said, yo, Alexis is right. You guys don't see that, but I see it.
Okay. All right. So let's move on. Hopefully we're not taking too long with all of these.
We can't explain all of them.
Young Player of the Year.
Oh, God, I don't remember.
You don't
remember. I'm really sorry. I really thought I'd be like, I'll be able to remember. I even tried to hit back on my voting because I left the tab up.
Yeah.
And it was like, resubmit form. And I was like, oh.
Okay.
Who did you pick?
Jesus Ferreira.
Oh, so did I.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that was an easy choice.
Yeah. Incredible.
Obviously,
Jesus Ferreira came up a lot for me.
He's just, you know, he just happens to be young. He's a young DP and scoring a whole bunch of goals.
Was your nickname in high school, right? Young DP.
Okay.
All right. Virgin. Bro.
You know what I did in the bathroom? Okay. Ferreira, yeah. I mean, I think that
we don't know what you did.
all the shows went like this, I think. Extra Time, Football Americas.
When ESPN FC.
Okay. Next up, newcomer of the year.
Ooh,
who did you pick?
Hold on, let me remember. Who did you pick?
So I feel like I went with a choice that maybe a lot of people didn't go with because I haven't really seen any of the other MLS journalists say this name. But I went with the striker for the Philadelphia Union, Mikael Ura.
I did not.
He's been spectacular this year, scoring huge goals, important goals, whether he's starting, coming off the bench. Huge player, and I think a very well deserved award for him. The nice Cabrusa Cucho Hernandez in Columbus. I don't think Cucho has been fine.
I did pick Cucho Hernandez actually.
I don't.
I think
Ura did more. Cucho had huge goals and more like better goals, quote unquote. But the how many Ura scored a few more goals than Cucho?
I think the reason I picked Cucho is because what it means to the league to get a player of his ilk at his age. It's like if you would have signed Insigne a few years earlier. He also played well. He showed he can continue that level. To me, it felt like a pretty simple choice. I wouldn't necessarily say it was the best player in the league by any stretch of the imagination, but it's also like he didn't come here to retire or didn't come here to relax.
Sure. How many goals Ura had?
Or maybe I pick Ricky Puig.
I saw a lot of people pick Ricky Puig.
I might have picked Ricky Puig, actually. I think
overall impact.
I might have picked Cucho because he's been there the whole season as opposed to Ricky.
Cucho has not been here.
But you know what I mean? Season. Longer.
Maybe.
Yeah, Ricky's only been here for a couple of weeks.
Ura has 13 goals. 13 goals for a new player in MLS.
I did pick Ricky Puig.
Okay.
Okay. I'm starting to remember that.
So Ura, to me, I thought was the best new player in MLS. Mike Thomas said Ura, front runner for Golden Boot next year. Dude, I thought he was incredible.
One of those players certainly to keep an eye on. Let's see if he can continue because we've seen players have like one superstar season and kind of
because I haven't seen the name come up that much. I don't think he might end up winning, but I think that would be disappointing if he didn't. I think it's very, very well deserved if he did. Okay, next up, Defender of the Year.
I picked Alexander Collins.
I also picked Alexander Collins.
Not just because he was an absolute standout as a defender, but also contributed goals when needed.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
And I think it's even more evident when he got injured. I think Cucho was the one who injured him, I believe, against Columbus.
Damn, remember picking ops.
Hit his knee, took him out. And those games, he missed about, I think, like 10 games, something like that. NYCFC was kind of just they couldn't figure out as Sean Johnson has, I think, 14 clean sheets this season. There was a stretch of like 7-8 in a row,
right?
Weren't giving up goals, and then as soon as Alexander Collins gets injured, it is
rough time too because he gets injured right around the same time Ronnie leaves
and Tati leaves.
Yeah, and Tati. That's
so
right.
So it was just and then as soon as he comes back, NYCFC on this like much much better form. So. The argument a lot of people were making was Kai Wagner, left back for the Union, who has a whole bunch of goals, a bunch of assists, And some people feel like
Kai Wagner's in my 11.
Okay, yeah,
but he didn't make my defender of the year.
The defender of the year to me feels like it should be a center back. But I can understand if it...
Oh, I don't care about that. As long as you're listed as a defender, you get a chance. But to me, it's like the defensive MVP.
Yeah.
So you have to be like one of those people that where if you are out, the team can't play without you almost.
And I could
see people saying Zimmerman. You know what I mean? Like
Zimmerman won it two times in a row.
But I could see how important he is for the squad and how much of a leader he is on a team that. And how much the team sort of takes his personality.
Yeah,
on.
And I would say
Thorin Asher, you're about to get a shout out soon.
Philadelphia Union, and I think defensively, I mean, they have given up I think 25 goals the whole season. They are defensively, I've just never seen a team be so on point. I mean, but Jacob Glesnes, Jack Elliott, and then Andre Blake as well has been a damn...
Jack Elliott wasn't even nominated.
He was not, right, yeah.
Yeah, shouts to whoever put that in there, Justin Freeberg.
But so this is why Kai Wagner, to me, didn't deserve my vote because of how it would almost be taking something away from the effort of Glesnes and Elliott.
Right.
And
they're,
Blake.
They're the best back line.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. Back line.
But to say defender of the year, you take Jack Elliott out or you take Kai Wagner out or you take these players out. Other people can contribute. That's you take Alexander Collins out. You're probably dropping about 30 points. you know what I mean?
And that's what it felt like. So that was my rationale behind the voting. So
Who's next, by the way, we agree.
I think a spectacular season. I mean, so many players on the Union have been. Okay, next up, the goalkeeper of the year.
I mean,
I think it's pretty easy.
Who'd you pick?
Andre Blake.
I picked Sean Johnson.
Really?
No, Andre Blake has been
on fire, bro. Right? You're like the
Homer team,
for real.
No. Andre Blake is absolutely the pick.
It's just
I think he has the most clean sheets, right?
Yeah, he had 15. Yeah. And then I think Sean Johnson was second with 14. Or there might have been a couple others tied. But I mean that's obvious. Andre Blake has just been absurd. And I mean, what else can you say? It's just a complete deserve. He's won it before. People were also saying that he should be up for MVP of the league.
You know why I wouldn't have voted for him for MVP? Because he has such an incredible backline.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you can't grade it against him because he still makes incredible saves when needed. But for me, definitely you earn the right because especially if you notice whenever a shot goes over the crossbar, what's the first thing a goalkeeper does is like yell at their back line.
Right.
He's helping put them together. So to me, it's like a team effort. He deserves it, though. I'd hate to take that away from him.
Right. Okay. And then MVP. Where did we go there?
I mean, to me, I've been saying it for weeks. There really is only one option for me.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about what a defensive player of the year means. We talked about what a goalkeeper of the year means. If you take these people out, what happens? You take Hani Mukhtar off Nashville. Yeah. Buddy, you earned it.
Yeah.
I wanted to vote against you so bad.
The last couple of weeks, I've been doing everything in my power. I'm like, how do I not vote for this guy? And still maintain like a level, my conscience.
Right.
He's just too important of a player. Scored too many important goals. I mean, a bunch of assists.
Has literally pulled this team back in the games on his own.
Yeah. The name I was really, really competing against that made sense to me for MVP was my next choice would have been Sebastian Jarusi.
100%. That's my number two. And in fact, I stood there for a second. I'm like, is there a way where it makes more sense to vote for Jarusi? I just don't think there is.
I don't think so either. Even though I try to take into consideration where teams finish on the table a little bit.
It's just as long as you make it to a playoff.
Sure, Austin finished a little bit higher, so I think that gave Jarusi some points. But the goals came from other places in Austin. And then
I hate to punish somebody for having better players around them, but in this case, Hani just did so much on his own and was such an unstoppable force for so long in the season. To me, it feels like he deserves it.
The next one, and I had mentioned this before, but Daniel Gazdag, I thought was made a super super strong case, and I think if Jarusi or Gazdag ended up winning the Golden Boot, they finished one behind Mukhtar. then it would have made it a really tough decision. It's interesting too because MLS, they allow you to vote up until the day after decision day. So some people submit their votes before decision day, which seems weird, right? Wouldn't you want to wait till the complete?
If it's close in this case, like the Golden Boot and stuff, but I don't think if it would have ended tied for Golden Boot, or even if Gazdag would have finished one above Hani, I don't think I still take it away from Hani. I just think he just meant so much to me. He was the most valuable player on his team and probably the most valuable player to their team in the league. So to me, when I think of most valuable player, that's what it means. It's not just called best player in the league. It's not called best season this year. It's called most valuable player. And I can't imagine there's a more valuable player to their squad than Hani Mukhtar has been. So as far as I'm concerned, buddy, I didn't want to vote for you, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just something about, I don't know what happened. It ain't got nothing to do with you personal. Just something about it where I'm like, there's got to be someone who's more. And it just wasn't, dude. You absolutely earned it.
And I think for me, Gazdag.
To take nothing away from his season.
No, not to take anything away. It's just that it's one of the other things where, like, so many players in Philadelphia were so good that it took away from how great Gazdag's season kind of was,
right?
In a weird, like, you know,
you got outpaced. That's all.
So that's it, everybody. Those were our votes for this year. Please tweet at us your anger. We don't really get that much hatred. I think a lot of people are like, I can't believe these guys vote.
It's more astonishment. Omar Ramirez said, with the League's Cup next year, should teams be able to buy more expensive players and no DP rule?
Well, the rumor is, and I saw Tom Boger tweet about this, that because of the Apple deal, that there might be a fourth DP being added. According to Tom and according to other executives in the league, that nobody has heard that this is a possibility. But I think everybody sees that, Apple's in here? Okay.
We got that Apple money, that Cupertino bag?
We're trying to upgrade to the iPhone 14 plus and a DP? Like, hook it up.
You get a DP Max S, bro.
Bro, that's what we need.
Look at the battery on this guy.
Okay. So I haven't heard anything either, but I would hope they would do it. That'd be sick. Adding a fourth DP, that's the next.
Can we just get MLS rid of DPs 4, and just 0. Say, yo, let's just increase the budget to like 20 mil?
We could. I mean, but we'll see. I think MLS still feels like that there needs to be some oversight so that teams don't fold. Because, I mean, we see it in other leagues where teams just...
You got the Apple money now. You know you ain't folding, dog.
We'll see.
It just feels like a leftover at this point.
A leftover what?
Like a holdover rule. Like something
dead,
dude.
I don't know. I don't agree. Anyway, I do want to talk about the... Mayor Paulson, because we just saw that news. But before we do that, I want to make sure everybody here that is in the chat on YouTube, we have a new YouTube channel, a clips channel that will house all the Cooligans clips. Hopefully it's not too complicated.
Wow, you're really dumbing it down for our audience there, Christian. Basically, the algorithm has told us in more ways than one, you can't do a long form live and put shorter clips on the same channel. So we done changed it up. So we got a clips channel. It's going to have all of our shorts on it, and it's going to have all of our cut downs from this show. So all these lives that you see, we cut them into like smaller clips, trying to take advantage of the SEO. That's going to be for that. So hit that follow button or hit that subscribe button if you plan on watching them. And more than one at a time. If not, do not hit that subscribe button because you ain't helping us.
I need you to subscribe. I need you to comment on videos. Do everything you got to do.
Hit the like button. Watch more than one.
We have nearly 5,000 subscribers on our regular YouTube channel.
Buddy, the numbers are growing. They're growing.
I would hope all those nearly 5,000 people go right to our clips channel and hit subscribe. You can see it in the chat right now. Please click on that. Please subscribe. Right. It will really help us out quite a bit. Okay.
And it's not monetized yet until a bunch of you hit that subscribe button.
We would like to make money off the things that we are doing.
It would be really cool of you guys if you would help us make money.
Okay.
Because we got to pay for this bunker, dude.
So the okay, so Merritt Paulson, I actually want to maybe pull up the tweet or something because I haven't seen it, but I
basically he stepped down as CEO of both teams. I'm not sure this is going to appease the fans who want him to sell both teams, but at least he's not going to have control. So is that enough, you think?
So look, we know why he is stepping down, and obviously it's a lot to do with the Portland, his management of the Portland Thorns and their situation with their former coach Paul Riley, with the sexual abuse allegations and just. I mean, it's all of it.
There's pretty much banners in every city Portland plays in this, as you know.
So. It's horrific. And, you know, when the initial story came out last year, where Meg Linehan had dropped a story for The Athletic, the people were already calling for his, you know, calling for him to sell the team. And at that point, he did the thing where he said, you know, we have to wait till all the facts come out. And, you know, people are making these judgments way too soon. And then once the Sally Yates report came out, then it was like, oh, bro, you.
Oh, it was worse than we thought.
Yeah. It was like, yo, you knew what was, you like legitimately knew what was going on. And instead of handling it, you just. You know, gave like a glowing review of Paul Riley when he went to his new team and when they let him go. And overall, that kind of the way it's just you're essentially letting a sexual predator that you know they did something or that the allegations are there. And you basically were like. Oh, it's
he's great.
It's all good. We all, you know, I don't know anything. I don't know.
It's like when your friend's like, yo, pretend you were my boss. I put you as a
right.
And you're like, I couldn't better. I'm sad. I'm losing him to you, you know. So, but imagine that dude had done something horrific.
Yeah. So it's based on the Sally Yates report. It sort of felt like there were a lot of people that were afraid of legal repercussions or dealing with stuff or NDAs. Like there was just so much fear and in my opinion, cowardice to confronting a lot of this stuff that everybody was like, oh, somebody basically like, oh, we said it to somebody like they'll handle it. And nobody really wanted to just say like what was going on.
Right.
And I spoke about this last week with Tom and who knows why nobody wanted to do that. You know, my theory was that even from you know, staff or executives or even players themselves, they don't want to report things that may make the league look bad. And then therefore the league might fold or a team might fold or, you know, NWSL is still a very, very young league and women's sports and they're trying to figure it all out. And so maybe that might, it doesn't justify any, you know, any sort of abuse or things like that.
No, look, at the end of the day, it's a league's job is to protect the players, not just physically on the field or on the pitch, but also, you know, from predators that might be working on the team. Like in any way, shape, or form, the league's job in my eyes and the club's job should be to protect the players, not to protect themselves or to protect employees who may have abused your players. There's a sense of trust that you have when someone signs on to work for your team or to play for your club. And it's an absolute shame that trust has been, what's the word I'm looking for here? You know, has collapsed or that trust doesn't exist now because of your inability to protect the players. So at the end of the day, whether that starts at the absolute top or whether there's someone in the middle that's involved, that these people should be asked to leave the sport because you couldn't be trusted to protect your players when it was needed most.
Yeah, and this time right now, even though, you know, I'm sure other people feel this as well, but I'm like, reading the Sally Yates report, or reading the news about the Orlando Pride and their coach, their former coach, Amanda Cromwell, it's like, it's disheartening. It's like, it's just exhausting, right? Cause like, I want to talk about the games. I want to talk about the excitement of the playoffs.
Especially where like there's so much belief and trust and excitement around NWSL and its future. Yeah. And then you have stuff like this where it's like, I mean, to some degree, I'm glad it's coming out so that we can handle this stuff and move forward.
It's sort of a cleansing. And I hope that, right. You know, I've seen like, even, you know, follow your favorite you know, female footballers on social media. Sydney Leroux, especially, she is not holding anything back. She's obviously a former Orlando Pride player.
She does not know how to hold back.
Currently playing with Angel City, and she's just airing out all the facts, and she's just keeping it an absolute buck. And this is, look, I hope we have to go through this difficult moment to get to the point where, look, like with we were talking about the Boston Celtics, right, and their head coach Ime Udoka, who had a relationship with a staffer,
right,
and how quickly
who's married,
who is
and had kids.
Hey, bro. Hey. Look,
damn, everybody ruining families, bro.
But look how quickly Boston acted as soon as they found out about it. And some people are like, yo, maybe they did this too fast. Or it's like,
bro, the Try Guys fired one of the Try Guys.
Yo, you, that's it. It's like, if there's
stop, what's the term? Like, stop beating around the bush or whatever. Just do the thing you're supposed to do.
Even if you don't care about human beings, like, bro, this is you have to care about the bag, right? And this affects the bag.
And you might get sued, dude, which gets rid of your bag, bro.
So you have to treat this completely, like, seriously, quickly, and it can't get out of hand because that's the thing. It can, if it goes unchecked, it can get out of hand, and this is what it feels like happened in with NWSL. And you know, whatever, hearing all these stories about like it, look, the culture of the sport shouldn't be like this. That's obvious. But
hold on. So Theo Nero said, so why should somebody get fired for having an affair? Though I don't think that is fair in today's society. That's like something that happens in life, you know, affairs and such. The problem isn't that they had an affair. No one cares that they cheated on their significant other.
No.
Although for Nia Long, I think we should all pretty much care.
Okay.
Why? Because she's a goddamn gem, bro. but the issue is she slept with an employee that was
beneath you
in the org chart. That is an abuse of power, and that is a massive lawsuit waiting to happen.
It's a threat to the bag.
Yes.
That's it.
It's a wildly illegal act.
Nobody's saying it's a moral thing.
You have to tell HR, I am in a – it's not illegal to have a relationship with someone that you are superior to in an organization. It is illegal to hide that because that person can now claim that you are using your power and authority against them. And if that happens, that is a massive lawsuit that takes down the Boston Celtics. That takes down, you know, heralded organizations like the Try Guys.
Bro, do you see how upset Eugene was?
Bro.
You don't want that.
He was holding back tears. Sweet Eugene. Even the little one was crying. I can't remember his name, bro.
So I think that, you know, that stuff is fairly...
When the Try Guys are more responsible than you, you got to get out of the sport. They're YouTubers that eat everything on a menu.
For real, bro. It's a...
That's it!
Look, these things are obvious. Like, this shouldn't have been handled this way. And any reports of any kind of serious allegations, like the ones that, you know, that were brought by Mana Shim, it just cannot be handled like this. And it is... as an owner, as a person, I don't know, like I'm not gonna say father figure per se, but it's like, yo, these are your players. Some of these girls are very young.
They
think that the adults know what they're doing. And
I mean, we've seen players like Trinity Rodman at 18 years old go into the league. These are the time. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are, but we're seeing younger and younger players going into the league. The expectation is that they're going to be very well taken care of when they're there, and that they're going to be looked after. Not that they're going to be unheard if they have allegations against someone, which is just a shame.
Did you see the? You haven't seen the documentary, right? The ESPN about women's soccer, and like kind of it was on Tuesday that it.
No,
you were in London. I did watch it, and. Richie Burke, the former coach of the Washington Spirit, who got fired for being abusive and using abusive language, and there were Meg Linehan was in the documentary, Kaya McCullough, who we have worked with, and Richie Burke was in the documentary too. He was just like, Bob, what did I say? I didn't say it. Like he came off so bad,
yeah,
just like and also why am I forgetting your name? The former commissioner. Lisa Baird.
Lisa Baird
was also in it, and we interviewed her, And she's like a nice lady.
Right, right, right.
And
she was the one with the funky shirts, right? Like the Seinfeld shirt. She wore like the puffy shirt.
Yeah. But she was in the documentary as well. And
they asked her about the shirt by any chance.
They asked her about the shirt. They had more pressing issues. She couldn't have looked worse. She looked like she was lying. She looked like she was just straight up lying and being insincere on camera and in like, you know, speaking to a proper ESPN journalist.
Right, in that corporate spin speak.
A little bit of that, but stuttering. She couldn't get her words out. It was a lot of that.
I like when I see that because, you know, they're like, I mean, we didn't go over this in the pre-production, you know?
Her and Richie looked bad. They looked really, really bad, and it's a shame, and it shows that it's, you know, it's more than simply the men are bad, and like the men are the ones who they were women that also kind of turned the other cheek and looked the other way.
No, people, they were bad actors. Yeah, for lack of a better term,
it was across the board. I think there was a lot of people that just maybe didn't understand the gravity of the allegations or the issues. I don't know, but it just seems like people were way too casual responding to very, very serious allegations. That's really what it felt like.
But it's also one of those things of like, don't hurt the league by having these allegations.
I
think that's a big, big part of it, which is a shame because, like, don't you think if this continues to go on without being corrected, this will hurt the league? And who was it? Mike Thomas just said, NWSL is wildly exhausting to follow with all these scandals literally every week. Hear that. If you work for NWSL, if you're one of the 7 employees that work for NWSL, it's shocking how small the company of a company it is at this point. But if you're one of the people that works for NWSL, remember those words because your fans, they're exhausted. They're tired by it. It's much easier to nip the stuff in the bud when you hear about it than to wait and wait and wait and then have it be a goddamn documentary.
Yeah. Yeah. So look,
what would the Try Guys do?
Let's get them on the line. Can you send a voice memo to the Try Guys?
Bro. What would they be in Spanish? Hombres que hacen?
Que prueban?
Que prueban? Yeah, I guess. Que tratan?
Okay.
Lo trata, guys?
Okay. So, look, the NWSL playoffs are coming up and MLS playoffs. I'm hoping, you know, we saw it at the U.S. game against England that this, you know, the recent story is it's affecting the game and affects the players. There's no way it doesn't.
We should have beat England, bro.
We should have beat England. But, I mean, they took that goal away from Trinity. Wasn't offside.
There was no offside anywhere, bro.
But England, I thought England played great.
Played very well.
They're playing with definitely a new level of confidence, and it's going to be
It was their fun. Home, though. If that shit was in California, bro, first of all, they'd be roasting. But, they ain't used to sun,
but I'm gonna be excited to see them in the World Cup. I hope we play them in the World Cup again. I think that'll be a good match. PFC manager and NWSL wrote that SNL sketch about the Try Guys. Did you see that one? No. it was kind of funny. I hate breaking down like comedy or whatever, but some people took it as like they were being
callous
about like cheating or whatever, but the premise of the sketch was that this story was more important than national politics because it was all over the news and stuff, right? Like that. And that was a kind of like the beat that they kept hitting over and over, like they were trying to talk about serious politics and it's like, no, but the Try Guys or whatever. And the joke sort of just got, to me, it's like the joke just got old or whatever.
Right.
SNL, a lot of sketch shows kind of do this sometimes where they
have a game and then they just beat it.
That's what it felt like in that one. But whatever, it was a fine sketch. Okay.
I mean, if you're one of the Try Guys who didn't cheat with an employee, think about how big of an organization you created that. It's SNL level.
But the problem with him was that he was cheating and his brand was that he was not a cheating guy.
Ain't those dudes those the guys. All the time, bro?
That's why I say I always cheat.
We let you know, bro.
And that's why you know I'm never cheating.
Bro, that's why I keep telling you, bro. We jizz in our sleep, dude.
Okay.
MLS is just like, oh, why do we let these guys vote, bro?
Okay. I think we should wrap up there. As always.
Hold on. Theo Nero said, I mean, two consenting adults Like, come on, nobody's underage. You know, if anything could turn this into a lesson, I'm just saying that the punishment is harsh for him to. We get it, Theo. Damn, son. Delete your texts, Smudgy.
Bro, cover your tracks.
Damn, son. Delete your search history, bro.
No, it's the work aspect.
Cannot sleep with someone. Have to tell. By the way, you can if you tell HR.
I would tell Ned Fulmer.
But then you can't tell HR, yo, I'm cheating on my way, because HR would be like, yo, why are you telling me this, dog?
You just cheat, but do it secretly with someone not at work, bro. You got caught. It's on you, dog.
That's a choice a person makes. You do you, bro.
You got to deal with the consequences, and you see how it affects businesses.
Bro, you lost the bag, bro.
He was doing seminars being like, this is how you have a healthy relationship with your wife. He was doing content with his wife, cheating on her, bro, at the same time, bro.
Someone on Twitter said, yo, what if the reason he had a happy relationship is because he was cheating? Sure. And then, yo, deleted it. Because you know his girl was like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? They got the screen cap.
He needed some side to bring himself some peace.
You know, maybe you enjoy the steak a little more if you have a burger every once in a while.
You know, okay. Alexis puts chicken in his burger.
But everybody knows. HR is well aware. I put the burger in
He tells Yankee Stadium staff while he's doing it. When he does it. Okay. All right. Ridiculous.
Theo got season tickets to Cuck Feet. Come on, you white bellies.
All right. As always, a reminder, follow us everywhere on social media at Soccer Cooligans.
Hit the subscribe button on the Cooligans Clips channel if you plan on watching it when it pops up in your recommended.
Correct.
All right, we're trying to game this damn algorithm, my G.
Right. So, follow us on TikTok as well. We got a bunch of stuff going on there, trying to grow that. And we have some news that we will be dropping soon. To our Patreon subscribers.
So they get it, primo. Crimson Pizza also confirmed Google Translated called them Los Chicos Que Prueba. Let's go, dude.
Bro.
That sounds way dirtier, dude.
Dude, yeah. It sounds like that's the title of my new gay pornography.
Yeah. It sounds like what he got in trouble for.
So, make sure to join patreon.com/soccercooligans. We have a new episode of No Cap Recap coming as well later this week. And anything else? The Clips channel. Hit that subscribe button. Do what you got
to
do.
Oh, and shouts to everybody who sent me really nice messages about my appearances on True Jordy. That was really dope on the kickoff.
Okay. You did the proper kickoff?
No. I did the poker.
Right.
Which is on the True Jordy Twitch channel. And I also did the two-person watch-along with Lawrence McKenna. But then True Jordy or Brian kept hopping. Brian kept hopping in. And it was pretty cool. All the chat in the beginning was like, get this American out of here, stupid American. And then he was like, yo, man, this dude knows football. And everyone's like, we like this American.
Yeah, dude, that's how it is. You hate your stupid accent.
Bro.
Like, I hate your accent, but the things you're saying are interesting. Make sure you follow us and support.
Fan XY said Christian's form of cheating is a Happy Meal to McDonald's. The new adult Happy Meal, bro. Yo, don't tell Shorty, bro.
Don't tell her what I did with the toy.
Right? The phone number that was Logan McDonald's listed as Teddy from work. And she's like, yo, how do you you work with a guy named Alexis, bro.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. And as always, shout out to the Meadowlark family tuning in. A lot of new listeners. We appreciate all the support. Share anything. You know, share this episode. Let people know. You had a great time laughing along with all your favorite soccer stories. What a great... Make it a commercial. That's a little promo. But we will see you next week, and we will see everybody on Patreon this Friday with a new episode. So a lot of fun stuff coming this week. So tune in to all of that. All right. You got anything to say, Alexis?
Nothing, man. Love you guys.
Okay. Peace, everybody.
Bye.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.